Every week we start out with a conversation with the Director of Communications for President Trump's reelection campaign, Tim Murtaugh, who is with us again this Monday. Wow, this is going to be quite a week with the public hearings related to impeachment beginning. What's your reaction to this, Tim?
Well, I mean, I don't understand what light anyone thinks that could be shed on this. We're going to be hearing again now. You know, we've read the initial testimony of these folks, and all people are going to be offering is their opinions or their, you know, what they thought or their interpretations of a phone call that we can all see for ourselves. You know, the transcript of this phone call in question has been available for the world to read for weeks now, as the president took the unprecedented step of releasing it so that everybody could see it. And so all this is just an exercise of rehashing the same ground over and over and over again. And simply because the Democrats have moved these things into the public does not legitimize the entire impeachment sham in the first place. It was begun under terrible secret arrangements and interviewing people in secret behind closed doors. Of course, it was all kicked off by the whistleblower, who, as we all know now, is a Democrat and had worked for Joe Biden in the past and had contact with Adam Schiff's committee staff prior to filing his complaint. So we know all that. And at the same time, as we predicted, Republicans are not being allowed to call the witnesses that they want. They wanted to hear from Mr. Morrison. They wanted to hear from Adam Schiff himself. And they wanted to hear from the whistleblower and talk about the contacts that the whistleblower may have had with Schiff's committee and his work with Joe Biden in the past. And so we're not going to hear any of that. So the sham continues, and I don't expect we'll hear anything new that we haven't already once heard. But so, the media, no question, will report it breathlessly as though it's the most important. But, you know,
it's a second shot at the same thing we've already heard from these folks. I guess the whistleblower, and I've tried to stop referring to this individual as a whistleblower, because the more we find out about this individual, it appears to me that they are indeed a spy, an internal spy who decided from the get-go that they were going to go after President Trump and try to find something that they could insinuate was wrong about the actions that he's taken. Nothing that has been alleged here actually breaks the law, though. Right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Nothing alleged breaks a law. And in fact, you know, when they talk about the quid pro quo or putting pressure on Ukraine, some of the Democrats now like to use the word extortion. You know, if you are the victim of extortion, it only makes sense if you know that you're being extorted, right? So Ukraine, first of all, let's walk through it step by step. Ukraine was not aware that there was any pressure being put on them. They didn't know that the military aid was being withheld. Then, almost immediately following all of this, the aid flowed to Ukraine anyway, and Ukraine didn't have to do anything in particular to get the aid moving. So none of this holds up under any kind of scrutiny at all. Nothing untoward occurred. Let's also, you're right, we should find a better word than whistleblower for this character, but that's just the shorthand thing. You know, have you seen what his lawyer had tweeted over the course of years during the Trump administration? Said that way back in January of 2017, right after the president got inaugurated, saying, you know, now the coup begins. He talks about we're going to take him down. There's always going to be a way that we can get this president. So this guy for 2 years has been tweeting that he wants to stage a coup and overthrow President Trump. And now, wouldn't you know it, gosh, he finds a client who happens to be the whistleblower who is at the center of this whole thing. What an amazing thing that everything that these folks have talked about for the entirety of the Trump administration is finally coming true. They're going to impeach the president.
It is pretty striking. You know, I've never worked anywhere where the staff completely agreed with the decisions that the executives who were charged with making decisions had to make. I mean, there's always somebody. I mean, I've been in a situation where I've thought, you know, this is not the right decision to make, but it's not my decision to make. It sounds like that's who we're trotting out here, is a group of people who were against the decisions that President Trump was making from the get-go, probably for political reasons, if for nothing else.
Yeah, policy differences and disagreements on policy are not impeachable offenses. Yeah. And people, and that's exactly right. These are career diplomats in many cases who think that they know better than anybody else, and they're trying to supplant their judgment for that of the President of the United States. Well, I'm sorry to tell these career diplomats that that's not how it works.
In a democracy, you know, in a representative democracy.
No, the President is elected as the chief executive by the people of this country, and the President gets to set the policies. That's how it works. Yeah. And you can disagree if you want to, or you can leave the administration if you really disagree that badly. Yeah. But what the president calls the shots.
It sounds like there were some folks that the president brought into his own inner circle who were undermining him. This Nikki Haley book that we are told details how the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson at the time, and John Kelly were trying to go around the president and enlisting Nikki Haley's support, or she perceived it as support, not to try to talk to the president, but to actually undermine him. What's your assessment of this?
Well, I have no knowledge of what those conversations may or may not have been. I know that the people who have served in the Trump administration would like to believe that they all have served honorably with the best of intentions. I know Nikki Haley has been a great supporter of the president, and I haven't read the book yet. I know it just came out. Or is about to come out. Mm-hmm. But I can't speak to any of the conversations that she says that she had with her fellow cabinet members. I just have no idea.
All right, we'll keep watching that this week. What do you think about Bloomberg jumping into the race potentially here? I mean, and that the Democrats don't seem to like the guy. I mean, at least he's somebody. I won't put you on the spot, but at least he's somebody who's achieved something. I disagree with a lot of his policy positions, but compared to the rest of the slate, good grief.
Somebody had to step into the massive void that was created when Beto left the race, right?
Right. Okay.
I mean, there have been literally several Democrats around the country now looking for a candidate support mm-hmm. after Beto disappeared. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I think maybe they might have looked around and thought to themselves that what this race needs is another white guy. And
with lots of money in the bank.
With lots of money.
Does he concern you at all?
No, none of them concerns us. And I don't know. People talk about how Bloomberg might be a threat to Joe Biden because, you know, he sort of appeals to the same constituency. And I don't know. We don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about which Democrat is going to come out the other end.
But he's got enough money to actually run his own campaign and do what Donald Trump did 4 years ago, you know, self-finance and not be beholden to a lot of consultants.
You know, I suppose that's true. Money can make the campaign last and survive for a long time. But in the end, you know, you have to win states. You have to start to win delegates. You know, you can run all the TV ads and all that. But in the Democrats, the way they have their rules set up over there, now you got to get a certain amount of numbers in the polls. And you also have to have a certain number of actual donors in order to qualify for the debate and get on the debate stage. And, you know, that's a big step. If you're not in the debates, I don't see how you have much of a chance, and you can't. It's been hard. Steyer bought his way into that first one that he appeared in, and we'll see how successful he is after this. But
now
as the primaries start to happen, John, you got to start to win some and rack up some delegates, and we'll see those roll around starting after the first of the year, and you know, then we'll see. People will have to start dropping out for real.
And the polls seem to indicate that Bloomberg's not that popular with the people that he'd be seeking votes from. So it's an interesting place to start. Tim Murtaugh, the Director of Communications for President Trump's reelection campaign. Always appreciate the chance to talk to you, Tim. Thank you.
I appreciate it, John. Thank you.
We're back with more in a moment. News Radio WRVA.